For the first three chapters of 1 Thessalonians, Paul has really celebrated, encouraged, and highlighted how this church has been sharing Jesus, how they've been united as a church, how they have loved one another, how they have loved their community, and how he was encouraged by their Christ-like conduct. We see him talk about the relationships and how important it is to be together face-to-face as the church. Man, last year was tough, amen? And so, if you didn't say amen, you didn't live through last year, okay? Last year was tough, amen? Right? And so, man, we missed people's faces, and we're glad to see more and more. We still got more coming back, so let's pray that they come back, and we're so glad that you're able to worship with us online still. But we are meant to be together. That's God's design. And so Paul really talked about how he wanted to see them face to face, and that was in chapter 3. And then in verse 4, we talked last week, and Paul begins to shift from encouraging to teaching, to exhorting them and reminding them. He's teaching them how to live lives that honor God. And he began last week by talking about living pure lives. We were saved, and God has set us apart to live our lives following him and to live for him, to live lives of purity. But last week we talked about sexual purity. So y'all missed out on that one if you missed last week. So just dive into the website and you can see the sermon there. That was fun. But today, I love what Paul does. Over the next four verses, he's going to get simple. He's going to cover quite a few things. But he's going to get simple, and he's going to get practical. All right, men, we like that, don't we? Simple and practical. So that's what we're going to do today. The women, they go deep, right? They just want the deeper I'm just kidding. I'm just getting looks from everybody up here, so I'm just going to move on. But sometimes we need that, don't we? Sometimes we need just real and simple and practical. For someone to say to us as it is, right? Just to give us some straight talk, just to say the truth to us, just as simple as possible so that we can apply it to our everyday life. And in the next four verses, Paul is going to give them and us some simple and practical truths about how to live out real and authentic lives as Christians. In case you didn't know, the name of this church is Authentic Life Church. One of the things when God laid that name on my heart years before we planted Authentic Life, it was, God, I want to be, and we want to be a body of believers that follows you, not just on Sunday morning, right? Not just on Wednesday, not just during life group time, not whenever someone sees the bumper sticker on the back of my car. I got to act Christian at this point. We want to follow Christ 100% of the time and pursue that life. The dictionary describes the words real and authentic as being genuine, not being fake or artificial, having apparent qualities, having evidence in your life, being sincere and honest, and being true. And those words are vital for us, church, because God calls us to live that kind of life. He calls us to be real and authentic as Jesus followers. We're not going to be perfect. Just get that out of your head, right? We're not going to be perfect. We're not always going to get it right. But our pursuit, our aim should be to be authentic and real as we live for Christ and follow him. One of the things we say here at Authentic Life Church is that we want to have real relationships, right? We want to have a real, authentic relationship with the Lord, right? We want to have a real relationship with one another right here. And we want to have a real relationship with the world and the community around us. And then these four verses, Paul, to some extent, seems to touch on all of those. So if you would, grab your Bibles. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you need a Bible, there's some free ones back there next to the tithe table back there. But go ahead and grab one. That's our gift to you. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is where we're going to be at today. We're going to start in verse 9. And we're going to see some real and practical ways for us to follow Jesus and represent him in the world. Church, how we live in this world matters. So we're going to talk about the day. Would you guys stand with me? We're going to honor God and his word by standing. And you guys follow along as I read from these four verses. Here's what God's word tells us today. Verse 9. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. That's where their church is. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands, just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. Let's pray. Father, you are good. You're so good, God, and we come here today to celebrate what you're doing in our life, to worship you through song, to gather with your people as you tell us to do, and not to forsake the assembly of your body gathering together. God, we come to hear from your word. God, I pray, Lord, today that you would be honored with what comes out of my lips. But God, we pray, Lord, that each and every one of us in this room and online today has ears ready to hear, a heart ready to respond, and feet ready to go. God, help us be more like Jesus when we walk out of here than when we came in today. Father, I pray, Lord, today that if someone in here today does not know Jesus, that that would change today. You tell us in John 3 that God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, and whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And so, God, you make it easy. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. God, we work really hard. We try to be religious. We like to have our good outweigh our bad. But you just say you need to follow Jesus and know Jesus, and he needs to be Lord. And so, God, we pray, Lord, today, if someone does not know Jesus, today would be that day. You would draw them near to you, and they would say, Jesus, save me. God, we give you today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Before we dive into this practical application, I want to give a little context so that we can understand why Paul is saying what he's saying here. God used Paul to go into the city of Thessalonica to plant a church. And we've talked about this city before, but I want to describe this city again because it's important for us today. This was a busy city. This was a transient city. Lots of people were moving here. They were traveling through there. They wanted to come and visit there. It was a place to be for entertainment, for money, for power, for politics, for sex, right? Even for all forms of what they would call spirituality. Church, there were hundreds, if not thousands, of false religions being practiced here. And it was a place where people would come. They'd say, man, I'm going to go here to start a new life, or I'm going to go here to seek change, or I'm going to go here to have life's questions answered. But they were all looking to what the world and what the city has to offer. We do that, don't we? Like, we go and say, what does the world have to offer us, instead of seeking the one that we truly need, the one that has the answers. And so Paul is sent by God to go in and share Jesus and his life-changing gospel. And here's the great thing. Lives were forever changed. People gave their life to Christ. They were being saved. And then the city is starting to be changed as well. And there's this new church, right, where they've got these new Christians, new Jesus followers, and Paul began to teach them, right? That's what we're supposed to do. Someone gives their life to Christ, we're to teach them, right? We're to teach them how to follow Jesus, how to obey him, how to study the word, and that's what he's doing. He teaches them how to study God's word. He teaches them how to love and how to share Jesus with others and how to live in a God-honoring way, how to love his neighbors, right? But he also taught them. He taught them that even though Jesus died for their sins, he rose again, right? He ascended into heaven to be with the Father. He's gone to be with the Father. But Paul was teaching them that although he's gone to be with him, he's coming again, church, right? He's telling them Jesus is coming again. He was teaching them, and we need to know this as well, that when we are saved, church, you and I, we belong to Jesus. Right, we belong to him and we belong with Jesus. But until Jesus comes again, we must be here living for Christ. And that should excite us and motivate us. Knowing that Jesus is coming again and that we're going to be with him forever. Church, if that doesn't excite you, your wood is a little wet. Amen. That should fire you up. Come on, people. All right. It should motivate us to go out and tell people about Jesus, because we want everybody to go with us, amen? Right? It should motivate us to go out and tell people that Jesus forgave them, even of the sins nobody else knows about, that Jesus can give you a new life. Jesus doesn't just kind of like take your heart out, kind of spit shine a little bit and put it back in. He takes the old one and puts a new one in, and he calls you his own. It should motivate us to tell people about that. It should motivate us to live for Christ and to be a part of the church. But for some reason, for too many in the church of Thessalonica, many heard, okay, Jesus is coming. I'm saved. He's coming again. He could come at any minute. He could take us to be with him. And that led too many, not the majority, but it led too many to just stop. You can read more about this in 2 Thessalonians, but many Christians just stopped, as if this life didn't matter anymore. To some, gathering as the church with the family of God was not a priority to these Christians anymore. Their responsibilities in life were no longer a concern. Some just checked out. Many quit their jobs. How they lived their lives was no longer important to them anymore because they were just waiting, sitting and waiting for Jesus to return. Church, we've seen that before, right? Someone comes out there and they get on the internet or they write a book and say, hey, man, the end of the world is coming, and people quit their jobs and they sell everything they have. Are you with me, church? That's what's happening, right? But Paul gives them all, he just gives them some straight talk about real life, telling them, he says, guys, your life matters. How you live and relate and love and follow Christ. Church, we need to hear this. It still matters. He could come back at any moment, but how we live matters. You still have responsibilities. Don't check out, but live in a God-honoring way until you are with Jesus. Life is still happening. God expects you to live a life as a Jesus follower, representing Jesus well. Church, I'm going to say that again, and I'm going to give a little reason for it. We're really good at representing our political party and our sports teams and our businesses and all that other stuff. But ultimately, we represent Jesus. And so we're to represent him well. And so as we walk through this passage, we're going to see four very practical ways to honor God and live real lives for Christ. And you guys can see on your notes, if you're online, you can print those off on Facebook or right there online on our website. You guys have them on the back of your bulletin. And there's some questions in there for us to ponder as well. So I know there's more notes in there for, you know, it's because we're going to be here for about 3 hours today. No, I'm just kidding. But church, here we go. From last week, in verse 1, Paul says this. I'm just going to read it to you. Brothers and sisters, we ask and encourage you in the Lord Jesus that as you've received instruction from us on how you're to live and please God, you're doing that, but do it even more. And so last week, from that verse, we learned that our walk with Jesus must be your priority. Right? Your walk with Jesus must be your priority, mine must be our priority, and ours together needs to be each other's priority. Right? We're to be in his word, we're to know what the Bible says, we're to obey it, we're to trust God, we're to live it out. You know, we're really good at going to Facebook, right? We're really good at going to CNN or Fox or MSNBC or whatever news station is out there to seek the truth, but God's word says, hey, check me first, right? And so we're to do that, we're to obey God's word. And Paul began last week by saying, know what God's word says. And then he talked about sexual purity, right? It's a problem today, amen? It's a problem today, but it's been a problem for a long time. He says, know what God's word says about purity and trust God in that. Honor God with your bodies. And today we're going to see four more practical things. The first is found in verse 9 through 10. Look at this with me. It says, now as to the love of the brethren. He's talking about our love for one another and our love for all others. If you're a Christian, he's going to talk about our love. He says, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. When it comes to love, nobody needs to write to you. Why? For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. You don't need a man to remind you. God has taught you how to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it. You're doing it, right? You do it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. The first practical way to live out our lives as Christians in this world is this. We are to pursue and live out real love. We're to pursue and live out real love, church. We should be intentional about this. There should be, church, hear me, there should be evidence in your life that you love others. There should be evidence that we love the Lord, that we love one another, and that we love the community around us. And Paul is writing this, whenever he writes this and says, now as to the love of the brethren, and talking about this, he's writing that in the present tense. You know what that means? Is it means that we're always to live that out in the presence, right? In the present, right? Our love should be intentional and evident today, right now, and right now. And are you with me, church? It should be something that we continually pursue. And I like what Paul says. He just goes straight forward. He says, you don't need for someone else to write this down for you. You don't need another lesson, Christian, right? You got to love. Here's why. Because you have been taught to love by God. Listen to what 1 John 4:7 says. It says this, "Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God, knows God. The one who does not love does not know God." So if we don't love in a way that God has called us to love, we are not saved, right? Because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. There's no greater picture of love. When we deserved absolutely nothing, when we were completely unlovable, when we were rebelling against God, Jesus died for us. If you're here today and you can say, you know what, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I've been forgiven of my sins. I have called on Jesus to save me. I'm adopted into the family of God. I have a home in heaven because of Jesus. Then here's the reality. If that's you today, you have been taught how to love. You have seen his love. You have experienced God's love. You have received his love. Romans 5:5 says this, I love this, God's love, church, if you're saved, God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And it's that love that fills us up and pours out of us. Meaning this, if you belong to Jesus, God's love has been poured out into your life. The Holy Spirit is teaching you from within to love. And so because God first loved us when we deserve nothing, we are to love and love one another. Let's have a moment of honesty. We're hard to love. All right? You are hard to love. I'm hard to love. My wife says I'm really easy to love. She's not in here to argue with that point. But you and I are hard to love. We are not perfect. You will mess up. You will fail in relationships with others, right? We don't deserve to be loved in this way, but God says that you must be intentional about loving, regardless of whether they deserve it or not. God says we must be intentional about it. I'd encourage you to pause and pray about that this week and ask yourself, church, ask others. One of the greatest ways that I grow as a leader, as a pastor, as just a person, I'll go and ask people, hey man, what do you think about this in my life? Do you see this in my life? Church, I think you should ask people, is love evident in my life? Husbands, wives, ask your spouse, ask your kids, ask your coworkers, is love evident in my life? When others view you at home, at church, at work, at play, do they see you as one who loves others? So we're to pursue and live out this love. But notice Paul continues. He says, for indeed you do practice it. You're loving toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. Paul is saying you've been loved by God. You're loving others, but you're loving beyond that. You're taking your love even further. For them, they were loving the Lord. They were loving one another in their church family. We know that they were loving their community around them. But church, they went the distance, right? They were loving other churches. Right? Other Christians well. They were encouraging and supporting and praying for and loving other churches throughout all of Macedonia. Church, this is a big deal. Because often churches become only focused on them and their people. And that's important. This is the local body that God has brought together. And this should be a huge focus of ours. But too often we lose focus that God is working down the street and up the street and over there and another. Are you with me, church? Man, we are to love. Our love is to go the distance and love others. Their love went the distance. For us, it could be coming alongside and loving another church here that's struggling. Our church has really... I'm really proud of our church in this area. We've come alongside and walked with other churches. We've sent people from here to go lead worship and go and preach at other churches that were struggling. We've helped out in many different ways with other churches. We support missionaries here. We support other church planters. We love them. We encourage them. I remember when we planted Authentic Life Church. Y'all have heard the story before, but I never lived 20 minutes away from the hospital I was born in, and God thinks he's really funny, and he moved me 20 hours away, right? Man, that was tough. We left our family. Jessica and I's second date was at a birthday party with my family. We're just talking my grandparents down, and there was about 60 of us there. It was at your birthday party. There's about 60 of us there, and my wife is not quite as extroverted as I am, and she just ate it up, I'm sure. But church, when we planted and moved all the way over here, church, we received support and letters and phone calls and texts and encouragement. I've got them saved in a box, so when I'm struggling, I pull them down and I read them. People from they're from people and from churches all over the United States of America. You're going to see in our budget later, if you're going to be here for that, that we're intentional about giving and supporting other church plants and other missionaries. We want our love to go the distance. But it's also going the distance and loving one another deeper, church. Paul talked about their church in chapter 1, that this church, think about our local church right here. Man, that church, they labored in love. They loved when it was hard. Has it ever been hard to love someone at church and all God's people said, amen, right? You're not talking about me, right? But are you with me, church? You said amen a little too loud, right? But they loved when it was hard, right? Ephesians 4:2 tells us that we're to bear with one another in love, that we're to be stretched out in love for one another. You know what that means? When it's hard to love, you love more. You're stretched out in love. 1 Peter 4:8 says that we aren't just to love, but we're to love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Church, let's ask ourselves, does my love for others go the distance? Does my love go the distance? Am I giving and in supporting and encouraging? Am I loving others with my words and with my actions? Am I loving people here at Authentic Life Church and other Christians around me? Am I loving my community? Am I loving my neighbors? Even when they don't deserve it, even when they are difficult, even when they vote for the other candidate, even when it's hard. Did I touch a little nerve there? I did that on purpose. I highlighted it and everything. Church, our love is not to be determined by whether the other person deserves it. It's not. If that's why you love, then you're loving wrong because you never deserve to be loved and Jesus gave you everything. Our example, our bar is Jesus, the one who loved us and died for us and rose again and gave everything he had when we deserved nothing at all. And last in this, because we got to move on, Paul tells them, you are loving, you're going the distance, but continue in it, excel in it even more. So love even more, pursue it even more. And our question is this, am I growing in love? Right? We should continue to grow. Am I content with how I'm loving Jesus? Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? Am I content with how I'm loving Jesus and how much time I'm spending with him? Am I content with how we love here in the church? Right? Am I content with how I love my neighbors? God calls us to follow him, to be like him, to imitate him. And so until we are with him, you will have more room to grow and love others. All right, number two. We're going to move a little faster through the next three. You guys, here we go. All right. Look at verse 11. Paul says, we urge you to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business. Now, remember, there were Christians that were just checking out. Right? They were just standing around waiting for Jesus to return. And too often, church, when we have too much time on our hands, we have a tendency to do things that we shouldn't be doing. Right? Or we get overly involved in something that we shouldn't be overly involved in, or we can cause a little bit of trouble. And Paul tells them, he tells all of them, remember, you're representing Jesus. So as Jesus followers, you're to seek to lead a quiet life. That's next in your notes. Seek to lead a quiet life. Paul isn't suggesting that they walk on their tippy toes or whisper. He's not suggesting that they stop engaging in conversation, thank God, right, and just be quiet. I would struggle with that. But he's speaking about how they live their life. The word Paul uses here in this phrase means to have peace within you and to have your souls rest easy. This was a Greek phrase, church, to seek to live a quiet life. This was a Greek phrase often used to say, let your lives in and out be free from conflict and social problems. We see this in 1 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says we're to pray for everyone. We're to pray for those in authority over us, right? Why? So that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life. Meaning a life free of internal conflict and also free from causing external conflict. So Paul is really saying more than one thing here. He's talking about our internal and external self. Church, hear me out. As Christians, we're not to be stirred up on the inside and we're not to cause trouble on the outside. Now, there's a difference if we're, are you with me, church? Man, if the government asked us to do something that God has said we're not to do, we stand against. Are you with me, church? All right, let's just own that. But that's not what he's talking about here. We're not to be stirred up on the inside and cause trouble on the outside. When we are unsettled on the inside, church, it just flows out of us. When there are problems and concerns and troubles and division and evil and heartache all around us, and that's just 2020's theme, isn't it? Right? It can cause us worry and trouble on the inside, and then it has to go somewhere, so it flows out of us to where we are not leading quiet lives. But no matter what's going on around us, 2020, for many reasons, was quite a year. It caused a lot of fear and worry. But church, we, if you are a Christ follower, you can still lead an internally and externally quiet life. You can still be still. Why? Because we have confidence in our God. Be still and know that he's God. He's our refuge and strength. He's present help in time of trouble. Here's a question for you. Are you all worked up inside, or is your confidence in the Lord? If your confidence is in you, you have every reason to worry. If you have confidence in our politicians, you have every reason to be anxious, right? If you have confidence in others, man, our confidence is in the Lord. What do you do with the internal worry and problems? Are you taking them to and trusting the Lord Jesus? Church, as Christians, we can rest in him. We can be satisfied in him. We can have peace. Because if you're saved, you are his. That's a good word. If you're saved, you are his. Remember the kid's song? He's got the whole world in his hands. You guys remember that song? And for some reason, as we get older, we stop singing that. Like, we stop believing it, right? He's got you and me, brother. You and me. Are you with me? Y'all are going to leave me hanging here, aren't you, right? In his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands, church. I think he can handle 2020. I think he can handle 2021. I think he can handle politicians we don't like. I think he can handle racism. I think he can handle our life. When we are at peace with God, when we live quiet lives internally, that leads us to living quiet lives on the outside. And people say, what is different about him? It's not me. I have confidence in the Lord. Paul continues with this idea of living quiet life. When we're worried about all the things about us, right? Let me say this again. When we are worried about all of the things about us, and for some of these Christians, they had checked out. Let me say, I'm not saying that right. I'm reading right off my notes, and I'm still not saying it right. When we get worried about things, we don't lead a quiet life, do we? But also you have these Christians here that had just checked out. Sometimes as Christians, we check out. I'm going to be honest with you, man. If we're just checking out in our walk with Christ, man, there's something wrong with your heart. These Christians here, they weren't working, they weren't serving, they weren't involved in much. And so they had too much time on their hand to be involved in everybody else's life. They were busybodies, church. And they didn't even have Facebook then. Right? And Paul says, you know what he says, church? You ready? He says, mind your own business. Don't stick your nose where it doesn't belong. Don't start rumors. Don't spread stories. Don't hurt people. Don't share things that shouldn't be shared. We see it all over social media. People are way too busy in other people's lives, and they start to cause problems, right? They gossip. They meddle. They cause conflict. By the way, side note, this is not talking about us as followers of Christ. We are to be in other people's business in right here. You're a part of Authentic Life Church. You have signed up to say, Jeff, I'm going to be in your business and you be in mine when it comes to following Jesus. Are you with me? And honoring God. That's not what he's talking about here. The Bible is very clear that we're to be involved and connected and love and push each other to good works. But in this area where we don't have anything else to do and we get involved in other people's stuff, that's sinful. You know, Baptists are really good. Churches are really good about having, you know, parking lot committees and saying, hey, I'm gonna gossip to you, but I'm gonna call it prayer requests. Is that okay? Would you pray for this as I gossip to you? Right? We're needlessly interjecting, causing issues and problems and division. And this happens, church, when we aren't living quiet lives. So we should ask, am I minding my own business? Or are we causing problems in other people's lives? This is directly related to loving one another, church. If we're loving one another, our mission is to encourage and help one another, not cause problems in their life. There's not one person in here that doesn't have problems in their life. We don't need help, right? All right, so we move on to we're to have real love. We're to lead quiet lives. Third comes from verse 11. Paul tells them this, work with your hands just as we commanded you. Church, as a Jesus follower, you are to value, we are to value working with your hands. So a couple ways we're going to apply this today, but it's just a practical way for us to live and represent Jesus each and every day. We are to love, we're to trust God, we're not to cause trouble, and we are to value work. Two things are happening in Thessalonica here that Paul's addressing. One was this, you had Christians, again, that checked out and they weren't working. But these Christians also lived in a culture that did not value hard manual labor. Manual labor was frowned upon. It was reserved for the lower class. It was for the less than. And if you were a person, if you wanted people to respect you or place value on you or look up to you, then manual labor was beneath you. But the Bible teaches us that we are not to shy away from hard work. We were made to work, the Bible tells us, church. We're to value work, right? God gave us the ability to work. We see throughout Scripture that we're to value work, but I just want to give you a few of them. They're pretty clear. Ephesians 4:28, it says, do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with others in need. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says this, this is what we commanded you. You ready? If anyone isn't willing to work, he should not eat. There's no mincing words there. Paul isn't talking about those that are injured, those that are disabled, and those that are unable. Let's be very clear about that. In church, as believers, as a church, we are to come alongside those. We are to help them. We're to encourage them. We're to work for them. Amen, church? But the point is, if people in the church who are able to work and unwilling, it does take away from others. It takes away resources that the church can't give to more people that need it. And if you are not working, you can't give to what God is doing in and through that church. So let's also be people that are willing to go the extra mile when it comes to working. Let's be willing to do the work even right here at Authentic Life Church so that we can do what God has called us to do. Church, we're just going to have some straight talk here with our people, okay? If you're a part of Authentic Life Church, I just want you to know a couple things. We have a group of people here at this church. They know who they are. They don't even need to point them out. They go the extra mile. Not just on Sundays, but throughout the week. They go, church, I'm so grateful for them. They go the extra mile. They work with their hands. They use their abilities, their gifts to get the work done. And you and I and we are better because of them. And you know who you are. And so I say thank you on behalf of Authentic Life Church. But as a whole, we have work to do. Let's be that kind of Christian and church that values working with our hands, that works hard, that sacrifices, that gets dirty, so that we're able to give and advance the kingdom of God and meet the needs that God wants us to meet. I'm not talking about not taking vacations and not resting. Church, if you want to talk about that, I have messed up severely in that area and worked too hard where I ran myself into the ground and I was no good to anybody. We need to rest. We need time off. We need not to neglect our families and our health. But when all of God's people are working hard, the job gets done. Amen? I'm just going to wait. Let's get an amen, church, right? We need to value hard work. We need to value being able to give. We need to value serving in the church. We need to value going the extra mile, church. And when we all do that, everything works better. We're better together. We can rest and take breaks. Other people don't feel bad about resting and taking breaks. Why? Because other people are there to pick up the load. That's what God has called us to do. The Spirit is moving. Let's be grateful to God that you have the ability to work. Why? So that you can provide for your family, so that you can help others, so that you can serve and give in the church and in the community. Let's all join on this so that no one gets overwhelmed, church. So that no one gets overworked or burnt out. I spent the last 2.5 days at a pastor and wife's retreat where most pastors were overwhelmed, overworked, and ready to quit. Pastors and church leaders all over the country are resigning and stepping aside because they're just tired. Church leaders, other people in church, are you with me? And sometimes, I will say this, I'm praising God for this. The average in America is 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. That's not the case here. It's better than that. We have a higher percentage of people serving and doing more of the work, but I'm going to be honest with you, you have more to do. If you're not serving or working, church, it's biblical. I'm just going to say it. You need to do it. You need to sign up to serve and work and give. Let's value work and go the extra mile. Our question is this: are you doing just enough? Are you going the extra mile? When you're at your job, are you doing just enough, or are you working hard? When you're at school, are you doing just enough to pass, or are you working hard? Remember, you're not representing anybody but Jesus. He's first. So lead love, lead quiet lives, work hard, go the extra mile. And last is this: live your life with purpose, church. Live your life with purpose. This last verse gives us, in verse 12, gives us some of the why, right? We're to live our life to represent Jesus, to honor and obey him. But Paul says there's a little more. Look at verse 12. We're to do all these things that are in your notes today, not to give some Jesus brownie points. That's not why we do it. Because here's the reality, church. When you get to heaven, there is no scale. There's no scale. There's not St. Peter standing there and said, okay, your good outweighs your bad. You get in. It's not there. That's not biblical. I've read the whole Bible a few times in a couple different languages. It's not there. I've read the King James all the way to the Message. It's not there. Jesus says you are saved by the grace of God. You're saved through faith, and by grace through faith alone. It's through Jesus. It's us saying, Jesus, you died for me, right? You rose again for me. You're calling me to follow you. You're drawing me near to you. I'm going to respond to you, and I'm going to say, Jesus, save me. I believe in you. Be Lord of my life. I don't know where I was going with any of that, but it was good, man. As believers, once we are saved, we are to live our lives to represent Jesus, to obey him, right? But in verse 12, we do it so that we will behave properly towards outsiders and not be in any need. We're to love, we're to trust God, we're to stay away from causing trouble, we're to work hard. Why? Because people are watching. The world, your neighbors, your children, your classmates, your coworkers are watching. I'm going to tell you a story, and it's not, and I'm just telling you, this is not boastful. This past week, we found out, this is all for God's glory, okay? We found out that our air conditioner was done, gone. You need to trust God, find out you need a new air conditioner. And the guy came to our house, and he said to me, he said, can I tell you something? It's going to sound really weird. And I said, okay, I'm okay with that. I talk about weird stuff all the time. He said, you know, if you squeeze an apple, you get apple juice. If you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. He goes, Jeff, I can see you're being squeezed, and all I see is Jesus coming out of you. And I'm going to be honest with you, I did not feel that way. I felt like I was worried. I felt like I was stressed. I felt like I was not representing him well. But wow. Praise God for that. People are watching. Parents, your kids are watching. Your coworkers, people on social media are watching. But Paul says, behave properly towards outsiders, speaking of those who do not know Jesus, those who are not saved. And it says, do not be in need. So by the way, this is not literally saying that you're not allowed to be in need. I've been in need a lot. Amen? Right? It's saying, don't not work and purposely take advantage of others. Right? Don't be a drain on your community as a church and as a believer. Commentator Mark Howe said it this way. He says, a church that is a drain on its city is not going to make a positive impact in its city. We were able to serve and help so many people in this community during COVID because of you all giving. Amen? Because God provided. We want to do that. That people are watching. They are watching the example that you are leaving. The Bible says that we're to be Jesus' ambassadors, meaning our lives should give evidence of him before it gives evidence of our sports team, where we work at, or our political party. Amen, church? None of those are wrong. I like politics. I like sports. I like all those things. Before I represent Authentic Life Church, I represent Jesus. The question for us today is this: what does your life tell people? When people see your life, what is it telling them? The way we live in this world matters. How we serve and love and treat people and drive and vote, it all matters. We're to make a difference in this world. We're to come alongside those in need and those that are hurting. We're to be a church. Church, here's the thing. We want to be a church that if we closed our doors, the community would deeply miss us. And by God's grace, Authentic Life Church is making a difference in this community, but he gets all the glory for it. But thank you for being that church. We're to be Christians that if we moved away and we're no longer around, like, are we missed? The question we have to ask is our life and is our church making a difference? By God's grace, let's continue to make a difference. You know, God is using our church in the school district right here. He is using our church in the foster and adoption world. He's using our church in multiple areas, but we have work to do, church, right, with more loving, serving, and caring. The last question is this as we close. We're to live our life with purpose, and our main purpose is this, church, is to point people to Jesus. Because without him, all the rest of that we just talked about means nothing. You could love and serve and do all this stuff to people, but if they die and go to hell, it meant nothing. Are you pointing people to Jesus? Church, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you are saved, then you belong to Jesus and you belong with him. But until that day, let's love, lead quiet lives, value working with our hands, and live with a purpose. And all of these very practical things lead us to this. When we do that, we will live lives that point people to Jesus. Let's pray.